On today's episode of Beyond the Arc, it is officially bracket season. We have a bracket for the NCAA tournament for March Madness. It's actually here. I'm looking at it right now. I printed it off, looking at the bracket, and it looks beautiful. I am very excited, very thrilled, and very confused on where I'm going to go with this bracket. So I'm going to give you here a bracket breakdown preview, go through each region, give you my picks, each game, all the way to Final Four, Houston, National Championship, picks for everything. Going to give you that, everything you need to know heading into this while you're making your bracket selections, picking who you're going to have, picking all the upsets, giving you all the ins and outs, whatever you want to do, whatever you need. I'm just going to do the best I can, I guess. But yeah, I'm excited. It's finally here. I'm ready to rock and roll. Thursday cannot get here soon enough. Actually, we have some games tipping off tonight. First four games. So be on the lookout for that. There's a couple 16 seeds and 11 seeds playing in Dayton. You can go make a nice little road trip there to Dayton if you want to. Go check out the games going on these next couple of days before the actual tournament begins on Thursday. So yeah, I don't know what else there is to say other than just let's go. Let's get ready. Let's go.
If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it ride!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone. Welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. And yes, we have a bracket. Looking at it right now, I'm very, very, very confused. And honestly, I have no idea where I want to go with it. I get to certain spots of looking at the bracket, and I'm stumped. So I don't know. I'm going to give it to you the best I can. Just all my thoughts on the 2023 NCAA tournament, which is being played in Houston. And Houston is the number one seed. But it could be without Marcus Sasser. So that can play a huge role into it. So I'm going to first address the elephant in the room. As you all know, I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel fan, and they are the first preseason number one to miss the NCAA tournament since like the 1980s, 1970s, something like that. And they also declined the invite to the NIT. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, it's a cocky and modest move, I guess, to decline the invite to the NIT. It's like being arrogant. Yeah, we're too good to be in the NIT. I mean, I see why. It's already embarrassing enough to be the preseason number one coming into the year, having so much expectations around your team, individual players, and just like new guys coming in expecting to fill roles that are ultimately impossible, and not making the NCAA tournament as the preseason number one. That's embarrassing enough, and then to go on to the NIT, and you could potentially lose some games in the NIT, and then just continue to get the hate that is like, it's not really deserved. I mean, we got to remember that these guys are just 18 to 22, 23-year-olds, and they're living in a bad era, I guess, because of what the media is and what the media portrays these individuals and these athletes to be, and it's not fair to them. I mean, Caleb Love at North Carolina, he's already taken down a bunch of North Carolina pictures, changed his profile picture, and it says, you're not going to break me. And so he sees all the hate. He sees everything. And it stinks to see the turnaround for just one individual player last year, hitting the shot, one of the greatest shots in North Carolina basketball history, sending Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, into retirement, beating Duke, your rival, in the Final Four on the biggest stage, the biggest win of the rivalry ever, and now coming back this year and having the year that he had. He didn't have a great year, and I'm sure a lot of people were expecting more. I'm sure he was expecting more, a better year. And here we are. He becomes one of the most hated North Carolina point guards ever because of the season that he had. And it's not fair to him. It's not fair to these guys. So, like, I completely understand it. You go to North Carolina, and there's a lot of expectations because it's a blue blood. It's arguably the greatest college basketball program in the history of the sport. So, of course, there's going to be expectations, but I don't know. It stinks, for sure. It really stings to see that they were on the first four out line, and they were the third team out, and seeing like a team like Nevada getting in over North Carolina when the strength of schedule, like, yeah, you can throw in, you can look at all the metrics you want, all this, that, and I guess the committee doesn't value playing people in the non-conference. North Carolina's strength of schedule was ranked 7th. I guess maybe if they would have gone one more overtime with Alabama, the number one overall seed, they may have gotten in. Mind you, they were without their best player, Armando Bacot, for two of those overtimes. But that's neither here nor there. And North Carolina misses the NCAA tournament by two teams. Also, the graphic that CBS showed, showing the net ranking of each team, just continues to prove the point that the net ranking is absolutely pointless and very stupid, because two teams, Pitt, was it Pitt? Shoot. Yes, it was Pitt. Pitt and Arizona State were both higher rankings, had a higher ranking than the four teams on the first four outline. They were outside of the top 60 in the net, and everybody else on the first four outline was inside the top 60. So I don't understand why you put up the net rankings when the teams on the outline had a higher ranking than the two of the last four teams that you put in. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. But we're here. We have a bracket. I think it's fair. I'm not trying to make a case that North Carolina should have been in. They definitely had their chances. They could have beat Bama in one of those overtimes. They win that. They're 100% in. They beat Duke one of the two times. They beat Duke at home. They're in. They beat Virginia one of the two times they lost to them. They're in. Both times without Bacot. They beat NC State at NC State. They're in. So, I mean, they definitely had their chances. But if you're looking at metrics, North Carolina should get the nod. And is North Carolina the biggest brand there is in college basketball? But again, God honest, I don't think they should have been in. It's the right decision from the committee, but there's definitely a case to be made, and we can have a debate for that another day. So, to the actual bracket, let's get into it. Starting in the South region, number one Alabama versus a 16 seed, SEMO or Texas Christian. I don't know what the CC is. I don't know it off the top of my head. Alabama's moving on, no question. Maryland, West Virginia, 8-9 game, could be one of the best 8-9 matchups. We've seen the Big Ten struggle. Everybody's saying the Big 12 is battle tested for what they have to go through each year. This I am going to lean with the Big 12. Maryland really struggles away from home, away from College Park, neutral site, no matter what. I'm going with West Virginia here. San Diego State Charleston, very intriguing matchup here. Charleston has one of the most high octane offenses in college basketball, and San Diego State has a top 10 defense in college basketball. You always look for those 5-12 seeds, those 5-12 matchups that where the 12 more than is going to pull off an upset. And we've been seeing it a lot here recently with the 6s and 11s. But there's always one diamond in the thorn of bushes for a 12. And I think I'm going to go with that 12 here. I think I'm going to go with Charleston because I did watch them almost beat North Carolina at North Carolina. They have 31 wins this year. That's very impressive. Just they're a very tough offense, and I like Charleston to move on here. I don't completely trust San Diego State. Excuse me. Then at 4:13, you see some upsets here. There's a lot of people talking about Furman, the Paladins, beating Virginia and moving on. Crazy stat here for me: Virginia has not won an NCAA tournament game since they won the national championship in 2019. They have not won an NCAA tournament game since they won the national championship in 2019. Yeah, 2021, they got bounced in the first round. They missed the tournament last year, I'm pretty sure. In 2020, didn't have it because of COVID. I think Tony Bennett throws that narrative aside, yeah, because a lot of people are liking Furman, the way they shoot the ball, and Virginia, they're without Ben Vanderblas, so that's definitely going to play into it. The injury aspect is what scares me with a lot of these teams in the bracket. But I do think, like, because there's so many people on Furman, I'm going to go Virginia here. 6-11, Creighton and NC State. This is probably going to be the best 6-11 game that we're going to get. Creighton, I think, has the best starting five in college basketball. We saw them at the beginning of the year. They had they went to Maui. They had great success there, got to the Maui championship game and kind of hung around with Arizona, but also kind of didn't. Arizona won it pretty handily, but Creighton tried to make a little run at it. NC State's got one of the best backcourts in the country, and they're going to be a very tough out. We know in March you just love the guard play. I love the guard play. Hang on one sec, I'm trying to pull something up here. But yeah, NC State, they got one of the best freshman point guards in the country with Jaquavion Smith, and he's going to be a first-round NBA draft pick. Jarkel Joyner, another great point guard that they have, great backcourt running mate with Jaquavion Smith. And they got DJ Burns on the inside. Dude is just massive, and fans love him. He's going to be to him. The battle between him and Ryan Cockbrenner is going to be something to watch. It's going to be must watch TV. I am going to give Creighton the nod in this one. I was very convinced on them earlier in the year because of their starting five. I mean, Ryan Nembhard is one of the best point guards in the country. Ryan Cockbrenner is one of the best bigs in the country, accompanied with Baylor Shireman, who was one of the best transfers coming out of the portal last year. Trey Alexander and Arthur Kaluma, excuse me. They've got a well-balanced and versatile starting five, and I think that gets them on through this game. Baylor, UC Santa Barbara, I like Baylor to move on here. The offense is so good. And then Missouri, Utah State. This is going to be both of these defenses are so bad and the offenses are amazing. Like, this is going to be the first team to 80 wins. Normally I'm not huge on Mountain West teams. Mountain West, like every Mountain West team last year was out before 10 o'clock on Thursday. Every Mountain West team. There's four of them in this year. Missouri, they've got a lot of flaws. And Utah State's offense is really freaking good. I'm going to go with Utah State here. And then Arizona, Princeton, Arizona's going to move on with these. Going to just go down the list here, do all the round of 64, and then get deeper and deeper into the bracket. Purdue and Texas Southern and Fairleigh Dickinson, I think they're going to play Fairleigh Dickinson, but Purdue is going to win. Zach Edey's just a monster. Game in Columbus, by the way. Go check that out. And then 8-9 matchup, Memphis and Florida Atlantic. This is an interesting matchup. I think a lot of people are going to be on – a lot of people are on Memphis to beat Purdue. Do not sleep on Florida Atlantic. They won their conference. They were ranked at one point this year as well. The appealing thing with Memphis, you got Penny Hardaway. You got Kendrick Davis, a dude that can just go for 40 at any time. I am taking Memphis in this one, but do not be surprised with Florida Atlantic. This could be a much closer game than what people are thinking. Duke and Oral Roberts. Duke is arguably the hottest college basketball team in the country right now. This bracket, I absolutely hate the East. I absolutely hate the East. It's so bad. Like a lot of these teams, I hate moving on. I will admit Duke's the hottest college basketball team right now. If they can get past Oral Roberts, because they definitely have a tough draw with their first couple of games. They honestly should be seeded higher. They've won 9 in a row. They won the ACC, beating Miami, beating Virginia, beating Pitt, who's snuck in. And Oral Roberts, they've got Max Asemus back. Ohio State fans, remember him? He was there, the 15 seed that beat Ohio State when they were a 2 in the bubble and ended up taking the Golden Eagles to the Sweet 16 with Kevin O'Banner. And now he was at Texas Tech. Well, Max Asemus is still at Oral Roberts. The thing here for Duke, they're hitting their stride. Filipowski is looking really good. Lively is starting to fill his shoes. Tyrese Proctor is looking like a really good point guard, and they're getting healthy. Jeremy Roach is fully healthy. Derek Whitehead's healthy. Mark Mitchell is a great wing that they have, 3-and-D guy. If they can get past Oral Roberts, this bracket really opens up for them, because I love the matchup with them that they have with Purdue, because they got 2 7-footers basically that they can match up with Edey, long athletic guys that they can definitely bang around with Edey. And their backcourt is so much better than Purdue's. Gosh, I hate that I'm saying all this about Duke. But it's the truth. I don't know. I'll move Duke on here. This is going to be a very good game, though, with Oral Roberts. Because they got a 7-footer of their own who's been a monster all year as well. Like, this Oral Roberts team is so much better than the team that went to the Sweet 16 2 years ago. I do think a lot of people are on Oral Roberts, though, because, like, coming into this, my thought was like, okay, Oral Roberts, no matter who they're playing, move on. I may just be saying Duke here to, I don't know, man. I don't know. Because, like, it's in Madison Square Garden. Because I think Tennessee's beatable as well with Louisiana. I don't want to be having Oral Roberts or Louisiana to get to Madison Square Garden, and I think Memphis can beat Purdue, and so then I'm having Memphis versus Oral Roberts or Louisiana to get to the Elite Eight in a spot for the Final Four in Madison Square Garden. Like, that's what I hate about the East right now. Gosh, this is so tough. This is so tough. This is the crazy thing about March Madness. You just don't know. I said it coming in. Oral Roberts, no matter who they're playing, I'm picking them. Sticking to it. Oral Roberts. Now, I'm contradicting myself here because I did have not moving Tennessee on because they're without Zakai Ziegler. They're still trying to find their identity as a team without him, and he's been a huge missing piece for them. This isn't where I want to have... Gosh, dang it. I got to change that because I'm looking at a 12 seed upset on the top, on the right side of the bracket as well. I can't have three 12 seeds upset. I can't. Racers coming out. San Diego State, they're going to beat Charleston. It's going to be San Diego State versus Virginia. But I'm going to have Oral Roberts here, and I'm going to have Tennessee beating Louisiana, and I hate that. I hate that so much. 6-11, another intriguing matchup here, Kentucky and Providence. It's the revenge game for Bryce Hopkins at Providence. He transferred from Kentucky last year, basically went to his exit meeting, didn't like what he was told, and he's like, you know what, I'm leaving. Providence, they showed some fighting against UConn. They got down early and they clawed their way back, made it an interesting game, but UConn ended up winning in the Big Ten or Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. They got great guard play as well with Devin Carter. Good pick. The only thing that scares me about Kentucky is like Oscar Tshiebwe is so bad on defense, and you just do a high pick and roll with Providence's guards and make Oscar Tshiebwe have to guard. That's going to be very difficult to do for him. You also don't know about the health of Cason Wallace. Antonio Reeves, he's got to be the bucket that he was against Arkansas. Jacob Toppin needs to play consistent. Chris Livingston needs to play consistent. I'm going Providence because there's just so many question marks around Kentucky. I hate it because I don't see Kentucky losing 2 years in a row in the first round. Last year to St. Peter's. Bring basically everybody back, bringing back the National Player of the Year, the reigning National Player of the Year in Oscar Tshiebwe. And he's definitely not having the year that he was expecting to have. There's just so many flaws around this Kentucky team. There's another upset for you. This bracket, there's always that one bracket, and there's always that one region where it's just nothing but pure chaos. This could be that region. This could be. I watched Providence a lot this year. They were in the tough Big East. Big East, I think, was the second best conference behind the Big 12. And I'll move Providence on. Kansas State and Montana State, 3-14. Do not sleep on this Montana State team. This could be like the upset that's flying under everybody's radar. Kansas State's got a really good defense, though. They got Marquise Noel, who's a really good point guard. Keontae Johnson, really good wing for them. And they got arguably the best coach in the country right now, Jerome Tang. Kansas State was projected to finish last this year. I'm going Kansas State. But do not. There's always that one upset that you don't expect. This could be that upset. I'm not picking it. I don't want to pick it. But it could be. I'm moving Kansas State on. Michigan State, USC. It's Izzo. It's the month of March. And it's actually in Columbus. So it favors Michigan State crowd. There's going to be a lot of people from East Lansing. And it's actually a Big Ten matchup here in the NCAA tournament. USC, they got good guard play with Boogie Ellis. Great defense on the inside. I love the backcourt of A.J. Hogard and Tyson Walker, and they got great wings with Joey Hauser. Potential revenge game here with Marquette with Joey Hauser. I like Michigan State to move on against USC. And plus, always, Tom Izzo, they always find a way as that low seed. There's less expectations, and Tom Izzo just always finds a way in March when he's a low seed. So Michigan State moving on. Marquette, Vermont, this could be a very interesting game as well, but I like Marquette to move on. All right, going to the right side. Houston, Northern Kentucky, even without Marcus Sasser, Houston's going to kill him. Iowa versus Auburn. Iowa, they struggle on the road. They just lost to Ohio State on a neutral court, and Ohio State has had a very bad year. Auburn's been struggling as well. They've been very inconsistent. The only thing going for Iowa is that they have one of the best offenses in the country. They are just surrounded by shooters. You don't know what to expect with this team. They come out first 4 minutes, if they're hitting their shots, they're like, all right, yeah, Iowa's going to win. But, again, I'm like anti-Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. I'm going Auburn here. It's just the Big Ten just doesn't succeed in March for some reason, especially as low seeds, unless you're Tom Izzo. But I don't know. I like Auburn. I'm not like Iowa's defense is so bad. It's really so bad. Miami Drake, another 12 matchup here that I like, because 5-12 matchup, because Miami lost their big in the ACC tournament, losing to Duke, and the injury did not look good. So I don't know if he's going to be back for this game. Drake is really freaking good. I saw a few games of them this year. Well-balanced offense, well-balanced lineup. They're going to be a very tough out. They've got a massive center on the inside. They're going to be a tough out. They're one of the best mid-majors in this tournament. Like they could get to the Sweet 16. So I like Drake to beat Miami there. But if Miami, if it is announced that their big guy is healthy and going to be back, then I like Miami because of their guard play. Indiana and Kent State, this is a matchup that I've had circled. This could be one of the most intriguing first round matchups. Indiana, Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be the best player on the floor. Jalen Hood-Schifino is looking like a lottery pick in this year's NBA draft. However, I am going to go Kent State here. I know I have a lot of upsets here early, but it's crazy. Kent State's got one of the best defenses, and they've got one of the best point guards in the country in Sincere Carey. Like, he had 36 or something like that against Akron, had 27 against Toledo in the MAC championship game. Like, this guy is a bucket. They got one of the best defenses. They tested themselves early in non-conference. They lost by 5 to Houston. They lost by 9 to Gonzaga, both games on the road, true road games. And Houston's the second overall seed, and Gonzaga's a 3 and a very underrated team right now. So yeah, I like Kent State. Their defense is very solid, and they've got great guard play, and guards win you games in March. That's going to be a 12-13 matchup in the round of 32 there. Iowa State versus either Mississippi State and Pitt. You can always go back and change this because it's the play-in. If Pitt wins, beats Mississippi State, I like Pitt to move on. But if Mississippi State wins, I like Iowa State because, yeah, they've got decent guard play, but their defense is really good. They just smoked Baylor back-to-back games. Played them on the last game of the regular season and played them in the first game of the Big 12 tournament. So I like Iowa State if they're playing Mississippi State. If they play Pitt, look out for that, because there's always that one team from the play-in that likes to make some noise. And I think Pitt can be that one team. Xavier and Kennesaw State, Kennesaw State's first NCAA tournament ever. They match up with the Xavier team that has probably the best backcourt in the country with Soleil Blum and Colby Jones. I do like Xavier to move on here. I'm not going to spend too much time on that one. Texas A&M and Penn State. This is a very intriguing matchup. I know I've been saying that about a lot of these games, but it's true. Texas A&M, a lot of people are saying are underseeded. I think they had the best backcourt in the SEC this year. Very efficient defense. It did not look like it against Bama in the SEC championship game, but their defense really isn't that bad. Penn State, we all know them. They went on this big run in the Big Ten tournament, getting to the championship, and almost like completing this unreal comeback against Purdue. Jalen Pickett's the real deal. He is a walking bucket. Just going to be a tough matchup for Texas A&M. However, I do like the Aggies because I love the storyline of Texas A&M and playing Texas in the round of 32, future SEC matchup here and old rivalry. This 2-15 matchup though with Texas and Colgate, do not sleep on this, because Colgate, they are very underseeded. Colgate should have been in that, like, 3 to 14, like, that 14 seed line, or maybe a 13 seed line, because they're the best three-point shooting team in the country. They don't turn the ball over. They're very experienced. Do not, like, I don't like picking 2 to 15 seed upsets, because, like, they're very rare, but, like, we've been seeing them a lot recently. This could be one of those. A lot of hype around Texas, very deep roster. First year head coach, like, he's still the interim coach right now, but high off their conference championship win, they're playing great basketball right now. We see this a lot with teams that win their conference tournament, like, they don't go far. I'm picking Texas, but do not be shocked if Colgate makes it a game. Like, if you're interested in gambling, it's going to be a large spread. Take Colgate, because this is going to be a very close game. Now on to the West. Kansas and Howard. Kansas moving on. They got Bill Self back. Don't think too much of it. Arkansas, Illinois. Very tough matchup here. Must Bus versus Brad Underwood. Two very energetic coaches going to be on the sidelines. From what I saw Arkansas on a neutral court in the Maui Invitational with the field that was there this year, I do really like Arkansas. I'm going to pick them to win this one. Nope, I already got Memphis. I was going to say, is this my first 8 seed that I'm picking? But nope, it's not. I already picked Memphis. But I do like Arkansas. Staying away from the Big Ten again. I mean, Illinois will be tough with Coleman Hawkins, Terrence Shannon Jr., and Matthew Meyer. They're going to be tough. I don't know if Jaden Epps will be available or not, the point guard for Illinois. I haven't heard anything. He was out with a concussion towards the end of the regular season, and he was questionable for the Big Ten tournament, but I can't remember if he played because I didn't watch that game. but I like Arkansas here. St. Mary's and VCU, this is going to be a very good game. Another 5-12, but I do like St. Mary's. I'm not picking another 12 here. And then this is probably going to be the most fun matchup of all the first round games. UConn and Iona. Danny Hurley versus Rick Pitino. We need a aerial camera or something of just on the coaches. Like, do what Fox did, that where they would have the coaches mic'd up, but, like, I mean, they knew the coaches knew they were mic'd up that time, but, like, try to not get Rick Pitino and Danny Hurley mic'd up, because this is going to be very, very fun. Two animated coaches that just are all over the place. There's going to be a technical in this game, and one of these two. I'm going to go UConn, though. I think they're hitting their stride right now, playing some good basketball. And Rick Pitino, he's coming to the Big East anyways. He's going to be either St. John's or Georgetown's next head coach. So he's already got 2 feet out the door at Iona. I like UConn to move on here. But it's going to be must-watch TV because of Danny Hurley and Rick Pitino. TCU and Arizona State versus Nevada. I do like TCU coming into the year. TCU, they thought, like, they were going to be the best team with how they ended last year, giving Arizona a one seed a run for their money in overtime, losing in overtime. They bring everybody back, except they don't have Eddie Lampkin, big guy on the inside, announced today that he's transferring from TCU. He had left the program. I don't know what was going on there. But they're still a really good team, a very underrated team with Mike Miles back, especially. They're fully healthy. They're ready to go. I like TCU to move on here. Gonzaga and Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon is a team that can really score the ball, just like Gonzaga. Like, this will be very up and down. First team to 100 may win this game. But Gonzaga, they're a 3 seed this year, and they don't have as much pressure as they have the past couple of years. There's always that chip on the shoulder for Gonzaga to win the national championship, get that monkey off their back, and be the mid-major, quote-unquote, that they are, and they get all these top recruits and go win a national championship. Now, though, they're under everybody's radar. They're playing great basketball. The guards have been playing really well. Hunter Salas specifically. Look out for the Zags here. I do like them to move on, though. 7-10 matchup, Northwestern and Boise State. Both teams really good defensively. Boise State likes to shoot the three a lot, but so does Northwestern. I am going to not go anti-Big Ten here. Go with the Wildcats. Bo Bowie and Chase Shadij, they've been great all year. They're going to get at least one win in the NCAA tournament here. Another animated coach there with Chris Collins. UCLA, UNC Asheville. This is another 215 to watch out for. But I do like UCLA to move on. All right, so now on to the round of 32. We got Bama, West Virginia. Bama's moving on, no question. San Diego State, Virginia. If you remember, I just erased that a little bit ago. I got Virginia moving on to the Sweet 16. Creighton and Baylor. Very fun matchup here. If we do get Baylor and Arizona, that's going to be a very fast game, fast-paced game. That could be the most electric game of the whole NCAA tournament. Two of the most high-efficient offenses, according to KenPom, both inside the top five, I think. I do like Creighton, though. Baylor's defense scares me. They've got the best backcourt in the country with Flagler, LJ Cryer, and Keontae George, but their defense is not what Baylor used to be. So I like Creighton to move on here. Arizona, Utah State, I like Arizona. Purdue, Memphis, there's a lot of people on Memphis. It just depends on how the officiating goes, really. It's just going to be the game within the game. Zach Edey is going to be Zach Edey. If he's getting his calls, if they're just letting him camp in the lane like the Big Ten did this whole year. But on the other side, you got Penny Hardaway. When are you going to decide to press? Because Purdue showed a lot of flaws that they can be beatable if you start to pressure them early, not when you're down by a lot. Kendrick Davis, again, just a walking bucket, guy that can go for 30-plus any given night. I'm going to go Purdue here. I got Oral Roberts in Tennessee. Gosh, I hate this bracket so much because I don't want to put Tennessee into the Sweet 16. I hate it. I just absolutely hate that. But I'm going to. Providence, Kansas State. I'm going with the Big East here. Yeah, the Big 12 was battle-tested, but this was probably the best year of the Big East Conference since it was revived. The past couple years, it's been down with all the teams coming in and out of the Big East, and now we're kind of set in stone with what's to come with the Big East. So I like Providence to move on here, get back to Madison Square Garden where they just were for the Big East Championship, and they will face Marquette. While everybody's zigging, I'm going to be zagging on this one because everybody's thinking, oh man, Michigan State and Columbus just short of Michigan. Just south of Michigan, he always finds a way to win these kind of games. He was the 7 seed last year, almost beat Duke. I'm not going to fall for it, though. Everybody's zigging. They're taking Michigan State. I'm zagging. And I'm taking Marquette. I'm taking Marquette into the Sweet 16, getting back to Madison Square Garden where they just won. Now back to the right side, going to the Midwest. Houston and Drake. There you go. I got Houston playing Drake in the Sweet 16. And then now I got to find where I'm at on the bracket. I'm going to just put pencil in Iowa State right now. Iowa State versus Xavier. Love the Xavier team, the guard play. Iowa State will make it tough because of their defense, but I like Xavier to get to the Sweet 16. Texas and Texas A&M. Ultimately, Texas is so deep. I like the Longhorns to move on. Down in the West, the bottom right, Kansas and Arkansas. Like, recently we've been seeing the defending champ get bounced in the round of 32. I don't think this happens here. Kansas is moving on. UConn and St. Mary's, another very interesting matchup. I do like UConn to move on, though. Gonzaga, TCU. TCU could make some noise with Gonzaga. But Gonzaga's playing too great right now, and they're not playing with any pressure. They're moving on. They've been... Shoot, what's the number that I heard today? Some ridiculous stat of, like, I think maybe like 7 Sweet 16s in a row. So yeah, I'm just penciling them into the Sweet 16. UCLA, Northwestern, I like UCLA to move on. I'm pretty chalk there in the West, but I want that match. I want those matchups to happen, the top four seeds, because that region is loaded with, like, I think all four of those teams can win the national championship, to be honest. Like, I can see Kansas repeating. I close my eyes, I can see Kansas repeating with the confetti falling down. Bill Self becoming one of the best coaches in college basketball. I can see Danny Hurley lifting up the national championship trophy. I can see Adama Sanogo be there with Jordan Hawkins and just all those guys with UConn. I can see Gonzaga with Mark Few finally getting over the hump with Drew Timmy, and he finally getting that championship. And I can also see UCLA because of how good they are defensively, and they've got the best 1-2 punch with Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez in the country. But so that's what I got in the Sweet 16 in the West. Going back up to the South, Bama, Virginia, Bama moving on. Arizona, Creighton, going to be another lot of points in this one, but I am taking Arizona. The front court of Azulis Tubelis and Amori Ballo, it's just too good. Too good. Purdue and Tennessee, I hate this matchup so much, because I had been saying the past couple weeks, Purdue's going to get beat in the second round. And I can't wait for that to happen. I think they can. I think Memphis can beat them. I can't physically put it, because I can't put Memphis into Madison Square Garden. And I can't put Memphis versus Tennessee to get to the Elite Eight for a spot in the Final Four on the line in Madison Square Garden. I just can't do that. I physically cannot do that. So I got Purdue moving on to the Elite Eight. I hate it, because I think their guards are going to play like freshmen. They're starting to, like, late in games, because they can't handle pressure. I don't think Zach Edey is going to get officiated the same as he did in the Big Ten. And that really could affect, that affects so much. Like, one guy gets in foul trouble and they're done. One of your key players gets in foul trouble and they're done. But I literally cannot do anything else with this East region, I'm putting Purdue in the Elite Eight. And you got Marquette and Providence, Madison Square Garden, Big East, putting Marquette, Shaka Smart back into the Elite Eight there in the East. Houston and Drake, I got Houston moving on, no problems. And I had a theory. I will share it. It's definitely out there, I know that. The year that Virginia won, they were on the top right of the bracket playing in Louisville. They were playing a 12 seed. Oregon. Yeah, it was Oregon. And I remember it because I picked it perfectly. It was the 12 and 13 I picked. It was Oregon and UC Irvine. Was it Oregon? Because now I'm thinking it was UC. I know UC Irvine was one of the two teams. Anyways, Virginia was playing a double-digit seed in the Sweet 16, so they had an easy game to get to the Elite Eight. And then on the bottom side, you had Purdue was a 3, and had great guards with Carson Edwards. They had a great big with Isaac Haas. And then you had Tennessee, who was a really good team. Won the SEC, very deep, and I'm looking at this. I see Texas, who's the 2, also orange color, the same as Tennessee. Very deep roster, great guard play, great wings / bigs, because like they're kind of similar. Grant Williams, you got Timmy Allen here with Texas. Admiral Schofield was a beast. You got Christian Bishop. Trying to think of who else Texas has. But then you look at Xavier, and I look at Sule Boom. I look at Colby Jones. And then I look at the big that they have on the inside with Jack Nungy. Yes, they are without Zach Fremantle. That's going to hurt them a ton. That hurts their defense. But they've been playing better defensively as of late. Everybody's going to be wanting Houston and Texas. Everybody wants Houston and Texas. Honestly, I can see Xavier losing to Iowa State because of Iowa State's defense. And Xavier's not as deep. That Purdue team wasn't as deep. And they had a great point guard with Carson Edwards. Xavier's got a great point guard with Sole Boom. Xavier's getting to the Elite Eight. Xavier is getting to the Elite Eight and facing Houston for a spot to get to Houston. All right, now down in the West, this is where I'm very stumped because Kansas can definitely go back-to-back. They definitely can. However, I'm going to put UConn because I'm tired of all the chalk that I have. I have a 1-2 in the South. I have a 1-2 in the East. I have a 1-3 in the Midwest. Tired of all the chalk. UConn is going to the Elite Eight. I think Adama Sinogo is just going to be a man amongst boys. Not having a true big or monster down low to match up with Adama Sinogo down low is going to come back and bite Kansas in the butt. Yes, they got great wings. The matchups of Jordan Hawkins and Jalen Wilson is going to be phenomenal. But I like UConn to move on here to the Elite Eight. Now, Gonzaga, UCLA. I guess revenge game. Adam Morrison crying for Gonzaga. Sweet 16. You also had a couple years ago the Jalen Suggs shot. For Gonzaga beating UCLA. A lot of these guys for UCLA were on that UCLA team that lost to Gonzaga in the Final Four. You see, here's the thing for me. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, if Jalen Clark doesn't get hurt, UCLA is my national championship. They're my national champion. Like, they have the best defense in the country. He's the best defender in the country. You also got great rim protector with Bona down low. You got great guard play. I just said the best 1-2 punch in college basketball with Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez. I still truly believe that they can beat this Gonzaga team. Because at the end of the day, I do trust Tiger Campbell more. I do trust Jaime Jaquez more than Julian Strother. Hunter Salas, Razier Bolton. Drew Timmy is definitely the better big, but he's going to have his hands full with the on offensive end because of the defense he's going to be given. And people want to forget that UCLA only lost by 2 to Arizona in the championship game without their 2 best defenders, their best on-ball defender, Jalen Clark, who's done for the year, and Bona, who was out with a shoulder injury. Amari Bailey is starting to fill his shoes. As he's a freshman, starting to play great basketball for them. Gonzaga is not playing with any pressure though, and that's what scares me here. Like, I have a future on UCLA. I have a future on UCLA. And I hate that they get all these injuries, but injuries happen. I hate it. I am still going to put them on though. I got to continue to root for my future. I'm putting them in the Elite Eight facing UConn. Now in the Elite Eight, Alabama versus Arizona. Yes, Alabama's going to have the best player, best defender on the floor every game that they play in the NCAA tournament with Brandon Miller, arguably the best player in the country. I do think that Azulis Tubelis and Ballo are going to be way too much, though. They're going to be a handful. They got Courtney Ramey, great transfer pickup that Tommy Lloyd got from the transfer portal. The one thing that worries me is Kirk Carissa. I'm just worried that like Arizona gets up like 6 to 8 points and then he just makes like a bonehead move and turns it over, tries to just make the dagger with 8 minutes to go, and then it doesn't happen because he turns it over and Bama makes a run. I'm worried about that. But the way Arizona looked at the beginning of the year and the way they look now, they still look like the best, one of the best teams in the country. I'm putting Arizona to get to Houston, winning the South region. In the East, Purdue and Marquette. Marquette just did it on Saturday, cut down the nets in Madison Square Garden. I think they do that again. Shaka Smart gets back to the Final Four for the first time since 2011 when he took 11-seeded VCU. No. 12-seeded VCU to the Final Four. On that run that they had to the Final Four, when that was the wildest Final Four ever. I'm pretty sure Butler was in there somewhere. UConn, that was the year UConn won it. That was the year of Kemba Walker, cardiac Kemba. trying to think of what else was there, but yeah. The Big East, when it's in Madison Square Garden, the Big East always shows up when it's in the NCAA tournament. I like Marquette. Kolick, he is one of the best point guards in the country. Big East Player of the Year. He's going to play like it. The way Marquette played, Shaka Smart brings so much intensity to them, to that team. That was the best defensive performance that I played, or that I've, I don't know why I said I played. I'm doing this late at night, I'm tired. that was the best defense I've seen Marquette play all season long against Xavier in the Big East title game. Marquette and Purdue played at the beginning of the year. It was at Mackey Arena. Purdue won by 5. And a little revenge game there. So I like Marquette here to beat Purdue. Somebody finally ends the Purdue run, and Marquette gets to the Final Four. And then I got Houston and Xavier. I'm sorry, Xavier. I love you guys. I love going to your games. The Cintas Center is electric. I gotta go Houston here. It's a dream run for them. Assuming that Marcus Sasser is back, this is what I hate about the Midwest, because I don't want to pick Texas because I don't like picking teams that won their conference tournament. Houston didn't win their conference tournament, but Marcus Sasser is out. Potentially. He should be back by Sweet 16, but I don't know what, because he had a groin injury. I don't know what his groin's looking like. I mean, he could be having some lingering health issues there with that. That's just what, like, if they play Drake, there's no issue. If they play Miami or Indiana, the panic button is being pounded if they don't have Marcus Sasser. I'm going Houston. UConn UCLA. So I got Arizona, Marquette, and Houston. This is to play Houston in the Final Four in Houston. Gosh, I want to do UCLA so bad. Because, like, my thing is, yes, best defense in the country. They killed teams in the Pac-12, but it was also the Pac-12 who only got 4 bids to the NCAA tournament. They almost beat Arizona with Jalen Clark did get hurt against Arizona in the regular season finale, and they killed Arizona. It was at home though, so kind of home court advantage, but they still almost beat Arizona without their 2 best defenders. But I'm tired of chalk. I can't have 3 twos and a 1. That never happens. That just simply never happens. I'm going UConn. UConn to the Final Four. So we got Arizona, Marquette, Houston, and UConn. in the Final Four in Houston. Then we got Arizona Marquette. I think Arizona moves on, plays for the national championship. Tommy Lloyd getting a shot there. I think their front court's going to be way too much for Marquette. And really, all they have is Kolick. I think that run ends for Marquette. Then, oh my gosh, I hate this. I hate this because if Marcus Sasser's back, then it's definitely going to be Houston. I don't know. Like, I can easily be talked into UConn. The way they started at the beginning of the year, they looked really freaking good. I hate to do it. I'm going to Houston. I'm going to Houston to win against UConn, and I'm going to have them beating Arizona as well, because I picked Arizona last year. I can't do Arizona again when last year's Arizona team was so much better than this year's Arizona team. That doesn't make any sense to me. So going Houston, storybook ending for Jim Nance, his alma mater, cutting down the nets in his last Final Four that's in Houston. Gosh, that sounds horrible. That sounds so horrible. I mean, it doesn't sound horrible. The storyline is great. Great for Jim Nance. He's going to ride off into the sunset to his private jet and fly to Augusta National for the Masters for that following weekend. He's just going to be the happiest man on earth. If Houston gets Marcus Sasser back and he's fully healthy, then yes, they're winning. I'm locking it in. I really need my pick to at least make it to the Final Four, because the last couple of years has not been good to me. I was thinking about it today. Who have I done for the last few national champions? And I will admit this. From 2016 to 2019, I picked North Carolina every year. But it was reasonable. It was reasonable, guys, I'm telling you. North Carolina was a one seed for three of those 4 years. And the fourth year, they were a two seed. So, I mean, it was pretty reasonable. It was, like, they did win it in 2017. They made it to the national championship in 2016. So I did win my bracket challenges then. But 2018, 2019 were definitely biased picks. I loved the 2019 team. I thought they could do something special. 2018 was 100% biased. And then 2021, I had Illinois. I don't know why I didn't pick Gonzaga or Baylor. Illinois got bounced in the second round in the bubble by Loyola Chicago. And then last year I had Arizona, and they lost in the Sweet 16. So yeah, I need this badly. So we're going Houston, Arizona, Marquette, and UConn. Two Big East, one Pac-12, one American. Gosh, this Final Four sucks. I hate this so much. This is the most confusing bracket that there has been. There's probably like 10 teams that can win, realistically. I don't know. It all begins tomorrow with the first four games, but the real madness begins when the ball is tipped on Thursday. Exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. Cannot wait for games to get underway. Remember, there are a few games in Columbus. If you want to go check them out, it's Purdue and one of the play-in teams, Memphis Fairley and Florida Atlantic. And then Michigan State, USC, and Marquette and Vermont. I will be there. I'm excited. I'm going to be there for all sessions, all six games, Friday and Sunday. So I'm pumped for that. It's exciting. I'm looking here at a bracket with Houston to cut down the nets in Houston. Oh my goodness. Alright, yeah. Well, that's the show. Thank you guys for tuning in. This was Beyond the Arc Bracket Breakdown. hope you guys enjoyed. Hopefully you guys take some of my picks, take some of my insight with some of my pick with all these picks. And let's have a great March Madness. Let's have a great finish to the rest of the college basketball season. And let it be one to remember. 2023, the GOAT year. It's going to be a good one this year. I'm excited. It's going to be pure madness. I'm so pumped. Thanks again so much for tuning in. That's the show. Let's have a great March. We'll see you next time.